Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So what I want to do is talk about this concept of the fitrah. Some of you might have heard of this word. You've heard of it in the Quran. It comes in the Quran, in Surah Al-Rum in particular. Allah mentions it in Surah Al-Rum. It's verse number 30, chapter number 30. So it's easy to remember. 30, chapter number 30, verse number 30. Allah talks about fitrah, and they translate it as a primordial disposition. If you want to use an academic or technical term, it's called primordial disposition. You don't need to remember that. What you need to remember is the content I'm going to share with you over the next few weeks. So every other week we'll have a short lesson about this. I think it's one of the most important topics of the day, and I'll explain why. I'm not saying it's the top most important, but one of the most important topics. The reason being is we live in a world where we are told, our children are told, that you are born in a certain way. You are born in a certain way, and that's just the way you are, right? You know, whether it's to do with gender, whether it's to do with religion, whether it's to do with other things. You are born this way, and this is the way you are. You are born sinful, for example, or you are born with this, or this doesn't mean anything, it's up to you, and so forth. What we need to ask ourselves is the question is, what does Allah say? How are we actually born? This is the question. So many of us are fathers here, sisters will be listening at home, then be mothers. We need to ask ourselves that when we have children, what is their disposition? What is their natural inclination? Yes? When you and I were born, how were we born? When non-Muslims were born, Christians were born, Jews were born, people who claim to be atheists, when they were they born as Jews? Were they born as Christians? How were they born? And do people actually change? Alright? So in today's half an hour, I'm going to share some introductory remarks with you, and in the next 2 weeks, you'll be able to, inshallah, follow. I will say some of this sometimes is a bit deep, but I try and keep it simple as I can. I don't want to lose you, but it's important. That's why. Sometimes I have to make myself absolutely clear, but I'll share this with you and you'll find it very, very useful if you've never had a discussion on fitrah. Has anyone ever heard a bayan on fitrah, what it means? No, right? So this is something important for this new knowledge for us and for me as well, inshallah. So I know you might get a little bit tired, but try and stay with me as much as you can, inshallah. Now, as always, you can always ask me questions. So Allah mentions in Surah Al-Rum, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Position your faith, position your face to for Allah in a state of hanif, in a state of inclining to the truth. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي. This is the fitra that Allah has created you upon. فَطْرَ النَّاسِ عَلِيهِ. This is the fitra of Allah which mankind has been created. لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. You cannot change the creation of Allah. So what are we naturally created to? You know, people now say they want to change things. They want to change things about themselves. What is it that they can change and what is it that they can't change? لا تبديل لخلق الله. ذلك الدين القيم. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word fitra, it's a very interesting word. In Arabic, we use it as fitra. And just for those of you who are interested in grammar, it's called ismul hay'a. Ismul hay'a is basically, it's a way of something. So when you have jalsa, to sit. Jalsa is a way of sitting, when it's using that way. When you have qibla, it's a way of facing. You have qibla. You have other words, qibla means before. But when you say qibla, it's a way of standing. It's a way of facing. Or you have one more example, khilqa. Khalaqa means to create something, but when you use the word khilqa, it means it's a way of being. So fitra comes from the word fatara. Allah mentions the word fatara in the Quran elsewhere as well, and it has different meanings. Fatara means to cleave something open, or it's a way of being. So here Allah created you in a certain way. But when Allah says al-fitra, fitra, when it's used in a specific sense, we are talking in a very specific way that all human beings have been created in a certain way. That Allah has created every single one of us in a certain way. What is that? With the inborn. Inborn, this is the most important thing that you can take away today. Inborn knowledge of God. Every human being is born with an inborn knowledge of God. Like you have knowledge of God. Not Islam. People misunderstand this. They say, oh, every person is born a Muslim. That's not what it means. Every human being, every child that Allah has brought into this world, Allah has given us was born, is born, has within them this inborn knowledge of God. Every child is born. Like, if you left a child without the corruption of the influence in society, they will incline towards God. Whether that's a different religion, whatever it's called, but it would come, they would believe in God. They would recognize just by looking around them that there is a creator. So fitrah is the, that's the way we understand it as Muslims. Does everybody understand this? Because I want to clarify a misconception. It's very common. If you go on social media, Muslims say everybody's born a Muslim. That's not what it actually means. What it means is everyone is born with an inborn knowledge of God or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. But it also means something else as well. That's a religious way. But it's also that we are all created in a certain way. Right? We are all created in a certain way. Animals are created in a certain way. Allah has given animals a certain fitrah. Right? They behave in certain ways. Allah has created human beings in certain ways as well. So we all have the same fitrah. We all behave broadly the same. Right? Yes, we all have a voice. So we all, human beings, are able to communicate. That's our fitrah. That's our nature. That's the way Allah has created us. But the way we communicate is different. Someone might have a high pitch way of speaking, someone less so and so forth. But we all have the basic way that we are created. Like, we put all of us as human beings, but to different levels. So this is something to bear in mind as well. And as you grow older, as you have religion and you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have what's called ma'rifah, that you come to know through experience, through looking at the nature, looking at cosmos, the sunrise. If you look at the beauty of the sun rising in the morning, you should do this. It's a form of ibadah, I would say. I do that sometimes. I go into the hills up there and I look at the sun come up, right? And you come to realize that there must be a creator. That this isn't just accident, right? That we live here. One in so many billion chances of us living and we exist in the right conditions. So they call it the Goldilocks in England, because we're just at the right distance from the sun. If we were too far out, we wouldn't live. Too close, we wouldn't live as well. That's why other planets can't sustain life. Allah has created in such a way. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are all created, going back to this specific type of fitrah, which I want to talk to you about, because this is creating a misconception that's in our communities. Right? It's also challenging these ideas that say, oh, your children are born this way. Children are born this way, right? But we say, no, we say that every human being is born with a default programming of knowledge of God, right? And this is very, very important. And every single human being, without exception, has a need to worship God, to worship Allah. Whether they do it or not is a different matter. But every human being has a need to worship God. How do you know this? Look at every human being carefully. They worship something. Every human being, without exception. Even if a person says to me that I don't believe in God, they believe in something else. You must believe in something. You're born that way, that you are inclined, you need God as well. Just like we all have a need to eat and drink. It's almost exactly the same. We need to eat, we need to drink. Right? It depends on what you drink. It depends on what you eat. But we all have the basic need to eat and drink. In the same way, we all look for meaning and purpose in our life. We look for God. Some people call it, different types of Buddhism, or this philosophy, that philosophy, but at the end of the day, they're all looking for God. We are all created. So we are all worshippers. We are all worshippers. What's the difference? What do you worship? Everybody worships something. They might not go to the masjid and worship something, but they'll worship something in different ways. Let me give a simple example. They'll worship a football team. They might not pray to them, but it's religious for them. It's sacrosanct to them. Right? Try insulting their football team. There are certain things, certain idols, certain statues, certain religious leaders, political leaders. They worship them. They idolize them. They're everything to them. So, because what it is, in Allah has created within us the need to recognize God. If you misrecognize it, you misdiagnose it, you worship the wrong thing. That's what happens with most people as well. So we all have this inborn nature of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's unquenchable. Like, you need meaning, right? Without meaning, you are just like an empty vessel. And the more love we have of Allah, in our case as Muslims, the more love we have of God, the more we are in touch with our fitra, the more we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the less you have of that, the less you're connected with your fitra, and you live a meaningless life, empty life. Yes, there are philosophical terms for this, people who live these lives without meaning. Allah mentions all of this in the Quran as well, it's very, very interesting. But I don't want to go into that. So what we do is through our mashaykh, or ulama, who are lovers of God, we connect with them. But all they do is they just increase the volume, if you like. Because you already have recognition of God. That's predisposing you. But with the mashaykh, we're sitting with pious people, learning knowledge. All that does, it doesn't bring knowledge of God in you, but it increases what's already latent within you. What's already within you, it increases that. And that's an important point as well. That's very, very important point, by mind. And in fact, we have a Latin term for this was something that they talk about, in the idea that every human being is a religious person. Every human being. They worship something. They have some sort of religion. They call this the homo religiosus in Latin, which is the idea that every human being has something that they worship. Even people who claim to be irreligious, even people who say that I'm secular, or I'm atheist, or I'm agnostic, all of them have something that replaces that emptiness. Because if you don't have connection to Deen, to Allah, then you will fill it with something else. You have what's called secular alternatives, right? We have, let's look at 100 years of history. Last 100 years, we've had communism, we've had China, we had Mao's China, we had all these cults, we had fascism, we had all of these isms. They're all the same thing. They're all people trying to find meaning in different things. They've come and gone. The same thing will happen with everything else. Myths, legends, and so forth. Football is a very, a good example, right? Football is a very interesting example, because football is a secular religion of sorts as well. It's a kind of form of religion. If you look at Glastonbury, you know what Glastonbury is, right? That's a form of secular Hajj, because people go there as a pilgrimage. Because why? They're trying to do the same thing that Islam gives them, but they're doing it the wrong way. Can you see? We do it in many, many ways. It mimics religion. It copies religion. You'll see this time and time again. It's very clear to me anyway. And I'm like, subhanAllah, this is what Islam teaches, but these people have got it wrong. Because every human being looks for meaning. You have to have meaning. And that's why many people get into suicide and all these issues, because they've got a void in them. They need to fill it with something. And you know, it's interesting as well that, you know, some people will fill it with love of the self, love of women, love of cars, other things. They'll always try and find these things, but they'll never really hit the spot for you. You just want more and more. But love of Allah is a different type of love. So this is important. It's also interesting, by the way, that you know the word fan, you know, football fan. Kitaan football fan. That actually comes from the word fanatic. If you look at the etymology of the word, this is why, you know, if you teach your children, when you teach them grammar and at home, where does this word come from? So fanatic. And fanatic comes from what used to be people who used to be idol worshippers. Very interesting. Idol worshippers. In Latin, it actually comes from the word Latin, fanaticos. So there used to be idol temples. And the people who used to look after the idol temples were these type of people. Yeah? So can you see, like, these meanings are very, very important in our lives as well. So if we don't have the right religion, we'll fill it, our heart, with wrong idols. The wrong type of idols as well. And this is very, very interesting. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is hadith as mentioned, it's an authentic hadith, when he went for Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, you've heard this hadith many times before. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given two vessels. Again, it's very interesting, vessels. Can you see? Filling of something. The hadith has meaning for us. You know, I talked about vessels, you need to fill your heart with something. So the Prophet was given two vessels, two cups. One had milk in it. What did the other one have? Khamar. One had milk in it, another one had khamar in it. When the Prophet ﷺ chose milk, what did he choose? The milk. The Prophet ﷺ chose milk. And Jibreel ﷺ says to the Prophet ﷺ that hadaka lil fitra. You've been guided to fitra. You've been guided to primordial disposition. I'll talk about why milk is important and why alcohol is important here, or khamar is important, if we have time, inshallah. And he says, if you had chosen khamar, Ghawta ummah, your ummah would have been misled. So what's symbolic about milk? You'll be asking, what kind of milk? Why milk and why khamar? What's the difference? So milk is something that is related to our nature. Think about it. What's the first thing you drink when you're born? unless your parents have approached you, or they don't give you a Coke can. What do you give you? Milk. And what happens straight away? There'll be some people who are experts, mashallah. The child immediately attaches itself to the breast. What's the first thing? If you've been there as a father, you should have been there. I've been there 3 times. My wife made sure I was there. Yeah? When you're there, what happens? As soon as the baby is born, straight away, what does the mother do? Fitra, the milk. Yeah? Because it has the natural predisposition. So the Prophet chose milk. And so it's symbolic. It's telling you something. That's where you belong. That's where you come from as well. And, you know, it's the first thing that you drink. It's the first thing that enters your stomach. The first thing when you come into the dunya is milk. Fitra. You have it within you. You didn't know that I have to drink milk. Nobody told you that, but that's nature. So this is called fitratul ma'ida, animals as well, right? That this is very, very important to bear in mind, that this is our nature as well. If you look at the desert Arabs, they lived off milk. Milk was important to their survival as well. And so this is something to bear in mind. And milk is something so pure, it doesn't have any harmful effects. It's full of benefit. So again, fitra. Can you see the milk, the fitra, the vessel? All these things are very, very symbolic in our religion. The Prophet didn't just say things for the sake of it. They have connections between them. You have to connect the dots, like looking at the stars, right? There's some people look at the stars and they'll say, oh, this is all chaos. And somebody will look at the stars and they'll notice patterns. They'll say, let's move this way. And they will use their brain and say, this is this pattern. And then they'll be able to guide themselves. That's why the Sahaba are compared to stars. This is something to bear in mind as well. So milk is showing us that you've been given tawfiq. You've been given saddad. You've been given strength to follow the right way as well. And ghauta, which is the opposite. Because what does alcohol do? What is the effects of alcohol? The mind. Relationships. Anyone that works in the NHS will tell you one of the biggest costs of our beloved NHS is what? Alcohol related diseases. But it's also something symbolic. What does alcohol do? You use your state of self. And look at the people today, they are drunk. I don't mean literally drunk, I also mean metaphorically drunk. Drunk in love of other things. So we've been guided for that as well. So wine is also made haram for us because it has these harmful side effects. How long do I have?
You're on 17 minutes.
17 minutes, okay. So I have more time, inshallah. I will finish by half an hour, inshallah. So this is the fitra, right? This is very, very important to bear in mind as well. But there's also bodily fitra. I might as well mention this because we have some time. If you remember in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are certain things that every prophet followed in terms of your body. So we're moving slightly away from the heart right now and predisposition. These are like things that are natural for human beings. And the hadith is very lengthy, but certain things which are the sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam as well. This is like a natural way of being, even in your body, in your physical body as well. For example, trimming the mustache. The Prophet talked about this. Shaving your pubic hairs, clipping your fingernails, for example, using the miswak, gargling, swishing water in your mouth when you're doing wudu, circumcision, right? That's still practiced by many traditions. That's part of the fitrah, that's part of your nature, right? Growing your beard, cleaning between your knuckles, removing hair on your underarms, istinja, and so forth and so on. It goes, and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam listed all of them in many traditions. So there's also that type of fitrah, which is like the natural way of being. And this is something to bear in mind. So let's go to Surah Ar-Rum for a short while before we end. Surah Ar-Rum, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. What does the word Hanifa mean? Hanif. Hanif means two things. One is to incline towards Tawheed, towards truth. When a person is Hanif, he or she is inclining towards truth. They stood up straight, if you like, and they're inclining towards truth. Hanif was, who was a primordial, who was a real example of Hanafiya? Which prophet? Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was a very intelligent person as well, he was very, very sharp. So he also shows that intelligent people follow the right way. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, he looked at the stars, he looked at the moon, he looked at nature, and he came to a conclusion, which was already within him, that there must be a creator who is the creator of all of this as well. So that's one aspect of Hanafiyya. The second thing is to reject the defilement of shirk, polytheism. When a person is on Hanif, he has two things, or she has two things, that they are firm upon Tawheed, they believe in Allah, and they reject any form of ascription of partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very interesting. Allah says, Fitrat Allahi lati fatara an-nas, says Allah. This is the proof. So you might be asking, Mawlana, where's the proof for all of this? You've given us 15 minutes of introduction to fitra. Where is it based in the Quran? It's based in the Quran here. This is where we get. So every human being is born with an inclination to believe in God. That's very, very important to bear in mind as well. And Allah says, لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. It's very interesting the words Allah uses. You can spend hours and hours just thinking about this, right? لَا تَبْدِيلَ. تَبْدِيلَ comes from the word badal. And badal basically means substituting. You cannot substitute the creation of Allah. Allah doesn't say, لَا تَغْيِيرَ. You can't change. You can't change. You can't. People do it today. They change. We see it today, right? They have these chemical, what they call hormones. They change themselves, right? So Allah says you can do that, but you can't change who you are. You can't change who you are at your core. La tabdeel. And this is a mean of mercy as well, because sometimes people are misguided, they do the wrong thing, but Allah says there's always a way back for you. Because if you did change, right? If you change something, you can't. If you substituted something, you can't go back. But if you change something, you can go back. It's a small difference in the Quran, but it's a very important difference. So Allah says, لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. You can't substitute what Allah has done for you, how Allah has created you. Right? You might be able to change things here and there, but you'll never be able to substitute as well. And so Allah says, فَأَقِمْ. He's ordering. This is revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it's also for us. Right? Give your entire being to Allah. Don't be half-hearted Muslims. Don't be half-hearted believers. And lid-deen, you are created for the deen that Allah has chosen. People will follow all other religions, they'll follow all other football teams, secular religions, jobiho. But Allah says the only religion, and this is also an important argument for those people who say, well, you know, all religions are the same. You might have heard this idea that we're all the same. No, Islam says, Allah says there's the deen of Islam as well. And you have only been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have only created mankind and human, jinn kind to worship Allah. Do jinnats have fitra? Jinnats have fitra. Even the malaika have fitra. Why? What is fitra? A way that Allah has created you. Every creature, every person is created in a certain way. So when we mess about with Allah's system, it creates chaos. It creates problems for us. Allah has created it that way as well. So the fitra can be restored. Sometimes what happens is a person, you know, you hear about converts or reverts, depending on how you want to use it. Right? Some people can go back to it. You can bring people back to Allah. This is very, very important as well. Sometimes people have a wrong upbringing. They haven't had the right tarbiyah. They've been following another religion or no religion. But because we have this basic idea of recognition of God, no person, no human being is ever exempt. Any person, if you make effort on them, Allah wants to guide them, that person can be brought back to the fitrah. So we have to tap into that when we communicate with people. When we have conversations with people, we have to connect with them at that level to bring them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to follow Allah's deen inwardly and also outwardly. It's also interesting in the verse, فَأَقِمْ. It's an amr, it's an order. Allah's ordering. When Allah orders you to do something, you must do it. But a particular way Allah is using the verb here, this is why language is very important, by the way. Even you study English, you teach your children grammar properly. But school's not going to do it, you're going to do it as a parent. Teach your children grammar properly, how to put words in the right place. If you can, you know, you should try and spend some time in it. Buy a whiteboard and spend some time going through sentences. Learn what a verb is yourself, what a noun is, what a pronoun is. Learn these things, teach your children, master the language. If you can't learn Arabic, at least learn, teach them English grammar and so forth. Anyway, فَأَقِمْ. Allah says, it's a command, it's an amr. But it's a special type of amr. It's a type of amr. Listen to this. Allah says that stand up. But it doesn't mean stand up once. Don't just stand up once and say I'm a Muslim. Allah says remain upon this. Constantly, perpetually. Don't ever turn away from this. Don't lose sight of the goal as well. So this is like dawam. We call it dawam. This is all the time as well. Hanifa. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. I'm coming to the end, inshallah. How long do I have? 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. So Hanifa. So the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and away from misguidance. Allah says, believe, stand up straight, in a straight manner. It's very interesting the way Allah expresses this. Don't be a lazy Muslim. You know, don't slouch. You know, no, be confident. Be upon the truth. speak for the truth as well, and be upon Tawheed, what we call monotheism as well, and be in a state, because the word Hanifa is what we call a hal, like being in a state that is straight. You're just a straight person, that you believe in monotheism. You're uncompromising in your belief. You're not changing your religion because people now have suddenly said that this is the way the world is going to go and everybody must follow us. No, we're saying no, there is a nature. Human beings are created in a certain way, which is to worship God. You are going to worship God. You are a creature of God. And if you tap into your essence, you'll find that relationship with your creator as well. Hanifa fitra. So it's interesting because Jamal, he knows Arabic better than me, right? Allah says Hanifa fitra. It's actually used, they both have a fatah on it, fathatayn, right? Mansub, we call it. It's very interesting because the ulama say this is also a kind of badal. So it's like, if you're really on fitra, right? Fa'akin wajhakali dini Hanifa. Fitra, it's both mansub, they're both the same. They both have, what do we used to say in madrasa back in the days? Zabar, yeah, or fatha. I get confused when I teach my children because I learned zabar is it, and now they use fatha, kasra, and madrasa, so I kind of get confused myself. But Allah uses, and this is telling you that they are both interchangeable, i.e., you can only be on the deen of Hanafiyya, this monotheism, when you're on your fitra. Or you're only on fitra when you're on monotheism. There's no other way. This is completely includes all of this as well. So it's a form of encouragement as well. Right? So fitratullah, fatara an-nas 'alayha. That, and it's very interesting because Allah says this is fitra, but then the verse moves, fatara an-nas fitratullah. Does Allah need a fitra? Does Allah need a fitra like me and you? No. Why does Allah use fitratullah then? The fitra of Allah, what does that mean? You have to think about this. Allah's not like me and you. He doesn't need fitra. He's God himself. He's Allah himself. Why does he need to be a monotheism? No, this is an expression that they use in Arabic to show that, you know, complete monotheism. So when Allah is connected to something, when Allah is created something, he's telling you how important it is. It's like me. I'm telling you how important. You know when someone connects something to themselves, a big person, it's telling you what they're connecting themselves with, something important. So Allah is telling you this, fitrat nasi alayha. That is showing like a magnitude. This is such a good thing because Allah is complete goodness. Allah is complete goodness, right? Every human being is deficient, but Allah is complete goodness. So Allah is saying that when you're on fitra, you're extremely good. You're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is fitrat al-nasi alayha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown mankind to be on this. Fatara al-nas alayha. Ala is harf al-jar, but Allah is like saying that it's inseparable from us. Fatara an-nas, as in the Allah, he is telling you that fitra, you cannot have a human being who will say, I don't have fitra, I don't have this predisposition towards the belief in God. Allah says no, it's not possible. You are all born, every single one of you is born with what I said before, this idea, this notion of knowledge of God. Very important. I'm emphasizing this time and time again because in the modern world these things have been subtle ways, they've been challenged. We say no, this is Allah's created you with a belief in God as well. So, why does this change? Finally, we'll end with this inshallah. Why does this change? Because of our society, because of what we are exposed to, right? Our parents, what we watch with them on TV, the school that they go to, the madrasa they can go to as well. It could happen there as well if you're not careful. Don't think that because your child goes to a madrasa or a darul ulum that I've done my responsibility. No, it can happen in some of the most innocent of places. Sometimes people can be guided in the worst of places. Well, I've had friends, mashallah, who converted at university. Mashallah. Right? So Allah guides whoever He wishes, how He wishes. Yeah. But generally speaking, it's the environment, the culture, that corrupts your nature. That's how children become corrupted. Because certain Christian sects, they believe what's called the original sin. This idea that every human being, not all of them, but certain sects within Christianity believe that children are born with sin. As in, they're born bad. I'm challenging this. I'm telling you that this is not true. The Quran says, no, this does not happen. The Quran doesn't say it, but the Quran doesn't affirm this. Every human being is born good. Because that's how, and you know how this happens, this seeps into education as well. So we need to sort society out, we need to reform society, because there's this idea that people are born bad. No child is born bad, ever. But our actions and what we expose them to makes them ugly and otherwise. That's why having a mahol like we have today, the fact that you're all sat here with me, and listening to me, and hopefully you'll take it home and you'll think about what I've said, and you'll continue coming, and we'll start benefiting from each other, we can make a transformation of society, right? We can change people, because society and individual are interlinked. When it's a bad society, children are going to get affected by it. When it's a good society, they'll have good influence as well. So this is something to bear in mind. I've just given you an introduction to fitra. I know it's quite deep sometimes, but it's very important that I did this first lecture, because I need to make it absolutely clear that what we are talking about is very important. It's fundamental to our religion, fundamental to us as Muslims. We must believe that this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every single one of us. Every single one, every human believes, worships some God. I've yet to meet a human being who doesn't worship some form of God. I've yet to meet anyone like this. I've challenged myself to meet someone. I've not met anyone. Everybody worships something. They worship themselves because they think there's something special. They worship their country. They worship their football team. They worship a woman. Or the other way around, whatever. People worship something. They run after something. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all the tawfiq, inshallah. And I just want to thank you all for being here. It's lovely to start once again these programs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, give the tawfiq.